This morning, as we come to read from the Scriptures, I want to read from two brief passages and would invite you to take a Bible, if you need to, and turn to Matthew chapter 2. I want to be reading from the Christmas story there, but verses 9 through 11, and Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. As we think this morning, what present are you giving God this Christmas? Matthew 2, 9 through 11, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Try not to rock off the stage. Holy and happy Christmas to you. Last night we gathered and we talked about having a holy Christmas, not just a merry Christmas, but a holy Christmas. And we gather here today, Christmas Day, 2011, on this Sunday, for this brief time of celebration together and remembrance of the birth of our Christ child, of the reason and of the person who makes Christmas possible. And no, I'm not talking about Santa Claus, though I'm sure many folks have already checked out what Santa brought, or as I was told this morning, ho-ho. But rather, we are here today to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who was Christ and who continues to be the Christ. But let's think just for a moment about some of the things that have taken place, either last night or this morning, depending on your tradition, or that may be yet to come later today as you go to the houses of family, or perhaps they come to your home. That is, the exchanging of gifts or presents. Once again, depending on how you were raised, whether they're gifts or presents. Often, when we gather with friends and family after Christmas morning, one of the first questions is, what'd you get? Or, did you get what you want? Or if it involves children, what did Santa bring? It's a rather natural way that we tend to look at things, right? I mean, even Jesus got gifts, did he not? Gifts that first Christmas. In a Peanuts cartoon, Linus is talking to Lucy, and they're talking about Christmas and talking about presents. And I know it would surprise you that Lucy is frustrating Linus a little bit. And Linus hollers at her, "All I want is what is coming to me. All I want is my fair share." She responds that Santa Claus doesn't owe him anything. A point which Linus really doesn't care to hear. And so often, we are like Linus, are we not? We turn a deaf ear to the Lucys of the world that remind us that we're really not owed what we might think. Now, I'm not trying to put a damper on Christmas this morning. I'm really not. I enjoy gifts just like most other people enjoy gifts. But, as Karl Barth stated, we need to remember that, quote, God doesn't have to do anything at all. End of quote. God doesn't have to do anything. God doesn't, and God didn't, have to forgive us because it is expected, nor does He owe us forgiveness because we're such great folks, because we've lived such grand moral lives. God chose, and God continues to choose, to give us a gift, to present to us forgiveness out of God's gracious freedom and out of God's choice. In fact, God has chosen to do that in spite of who I am, and in spite of who many of us are, or anything that we may have done, or things we may not have done that we should have done. I know we usually think of and celebrate the good news of that forgiveness at Easter time, right? We focus on this cross that's hanging here and the empty tomb. But we need to remember that our forgiveness and our redemption wasn't just there. Our forgiveness and our redemption begins when God comes here in the form of a baby, born to near peasant parents, and not living in a cathedral, not living inside the temple in Jerusalem, not living inside of Herod's palace, but walking the streets that people just like you and me and everyday folks walk, experiencing hunger, becoming tired, becoming frustrated, as we see that on a few occasions as well. And yet God chose to come and begin our forgiveness in that way. The Magi were so impressed by what God was doing in the birth of Jesus that they presented presents to Him. Very valuable gifts. Gold. And even back then, gold was precious. Frankincense. Very expensive. And myrrh, which, ironically enough, was often used in the burial process, and was sometimes mixed with wine at crucifixions. These wise men did not give in order to receive something in return. They gave because God was already giving, and they recognized that God was doing something, that God was giving knowledge, that God was giving hope. God was offering newness of life in this baby. The wise men came recognizing the privilege that was theirs to know God was active in caring for this world. This knowledge and an experience changed and transformed a hate-filled Pharisee into one who could never outgive God. Changed into one who, in spite of persecutions and beatings, continued to thank God even for the persecutions and beatings, because he felt God's presence in those places. And who spent much of his last years as an adult giving back to God by giving the good news to other people, even those who hated him. Now, I believe that Paul understood, and he came to know very deeply, that he could never really exchange gifts with God, for the exchange could never be even. But Paul did come to a point where he could recognize a present that would indeed make God happy and would help fulfill God's purpose in the world. We read a few moments ago from that present which Paul recognized that not only could he give, but we could all give to God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 state that present that we can give to God. And Paul says here that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. Not because we are holy, but because God will accept us and will make us more holy. And he goes on to say, because this is your reasonable worship. He then tells us not to be transformed by the culture around us. And I know many times we are. But that we should be transformed by renewing our minds with God, in relationship to God. And as we renew our minds, that we give of our minds, our bodies, ourselves to God's world. God has given us the greatest gift of all time, Jesus. And in the renewed and redeemed life that we can have in and through Him, the greatest of all gifts, I do not even begin to imagine that anything I could ever do could come close to repaying a small fraction of what God has given. So I would ask not only myself, but each of us today to think, what present are you giving God this year? Not in exchange for the present that He gives us, but in love and gratitude and relationship. Perhaps it would be to give yourself to Him again, or maybe for the first time. And over the next few moments, in your bulletin you receive a green piece of paper. Hope you didn't take notes on it. You don't have to, but after we sing our closing hymn and when I leave this area and walk to the back, I'm going to place this gift box, which currently is empty, in the back. If there is something that you would write down, don't sign it, but if there's something that you would write down that you really would, and I don't just mean the generic give myself, but maybe something a little more specific within your life that you would write down between now and the time we finish, or the time you leave this place today, I'd ask you just to drop it in the box. We'll put the lid back on it when this is over, and I'll place them under the tree. But what would you give God this Christmas in exchange for what we will sing about in hymn number 270, joy to the world, the joy that He might bring? If you would turn in your hymnals and stand and sing with me our benediction together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.